The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Monday, August 10th, and that means, because it's still the offseason, football's coming, we think, at some point. It is time for a Mailbag Monday, or as we, what do you say, Breach? Say it, do the thing.
Mailbag.
Whoa, wow, that was a really good one. John Breach, Ryan Wilson, the NFL super friends, as you noted, Bleep, McBleep, McBleeperson is no longer here. We're not, I don't know if you guys know this. We decided this, with Dubin. We're bleeping out the other old super friend's name for now until the rest of the time.
Jay Cutler's number one fan's being bleeped out.
Yes.
I got it.
And in fact, that word is being bleeped out. So for instance, if you were to talk like you're like, you know what? I really think that Bill's head coach, bleep, McDermott is going to do a great job this year. Or you're like, you know, I think that the Saints offense run by beep Peyton is going to be really prolific this season.
Or
all beeps are removed from the rest of this podcast.
That's a good example. If you watch CBS All Access, one of their new offerings is the Mr. Magoo cartoon. And I watch Mr. Magoo with my 8-year-old. He likes Mr. Magoo. So you have to beep that out 3 times. Sorry, Debo.
Okay.
And Rams coach beep McVay might win the Super Bowl this year.
No.
Bold prediction to start the podcast.
There you go. But we're going to try not to say that word very much because we don't want Deba to actually have to bleep it out. It's going to be treated like an F word or the S word. It is the new S word, basically. Anyway, this is a mailbag show with the super friends.
Wait, does that mean we're allowed to say the old S word now? Or is that still?
No, there's two S words now.
Okay. Got it. I just want to clarify.
Anyway, mailbag show. You can have any question you want, your heart desired, answered if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. And maybe if you don't have a question, you could go and leave a 5-star review anyway. That's nice. It says something cool about the podcast. And while you're at it, if you like the podcast, go to youtube.com/pick6. Go to that address. It may pop up if you do on your phone into the YouTube app, which is perfectly fine, and hit that subscribe button. Takes one quick second. Just hit the button and you can watch all of our shows on YouTube, all the shows that we do, the podcasts that we do. But if you subscribe, it's doing us a big favor. We need to win the pizza party. So
yeah, I want to say real quick that I used to wear the same thing every day for these podcasts, but now that we're on video, I don't want people to think I only own one outfit. So I literally only change clothes because we record podcasts.
By the way, shout out to the awesome folks. Speaking of clothes that we wear, I now have different colored non-gray t-shirts to wear. For whatever, I'm wearing this very cool SMU shirt. I don't even really care about SMU. I have like one friend who lives in Dallas. And I like Dallas and I like SMU. I just think the shirt looks awesome. The guys at Home Field Apparel sent me a little care package of shirts. They are ridiculously comfortable. Highly recommend you check them out. I think it's homefield.com, but I will check it out for sure. Homefieldapparel.com. I'm not being paid to promote this. I'm just telling you, they have great, great college themed shirts. In fact, Breach, go to homefieldapparel.com. I believe they have Miami of Ohio, t-shirts and sweatshirts.
Brinson, can I just say that, you get more care packages than anyone I've ever met?
That's because I went to boarding school.
That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense at all. Okay, coming up in August, we are going to do themed weeks again to preview the season. We're going to have a nerd week, which is like analytics week. We already have Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders lined up to come and break down the Football Outsiders Almanac. I would recommend you buy that. Maybe we'll try and get – we'll see who else we get on. Last year we had Warren Sharp on. His book is great too. If you're looking for NFL preview stuff, I think those are probably the two best preview magazines to check out. You can get them both on PDF, like $30 a pop. It's a steal. They'll get you ready for the season. And you'll find tons of great nuggets. It'll help you out gambling and fantasy and all of that. So make sure to check that out. We'll have fantasy week and gambling week as well. Okay. Let's get to the mailbag, shall we?
Hey, by the way, at the end of this mailbag, I'm going to mix up. I'm going to ask a mailbag question, my own mailbag question.
Ooh.
Listeners, because I got a, got some little something I'm going to throw at you.
All right. Good. The guy who's obsessed with planning things out decides to do a mailbag question that's not in the rundown at the end of the show. Excellent. Do you want to, I guess we won't start with that because that would really ruin
the require you to do anything except sit there and pretend you're paying attention to us and watch golf.
You know what? The golf coverage actually went off, I think, while this started. So that's quite unfortunate.
That's funny. I had to pull a few strings before the podcast started to make sure Brinson would actually pay attention. So I got the golf taken off there.
Thank you.
I'm watching the featured groups. Man, it's good to have major golf back in our lives. We're recording this, obviously, not on Monday. Anyway, let's get to the reviews. First up, gotta give Brinson credit. What a fantastic way to start a review. I finally got around to listening to the Wind of Change podcast after Brinson recommended the pod a few weeks ago, and GD, it is fantastic. I was skeptical at first, but it's a similar format to Serial with a more interesting premise and some kick A music sprinkled in. I tried to spread my podcast over my commute in a week, but ended up binging the whole thing in 2 days. Great freaking recommendation. Football question is, would you guys rank the best non-quarterback draft pick for each team over the last decade? And the absolute worst pick for each team from 2010 to 2019. P.S. I live in Houston and honest to God, forgot Bill O'Brien's last name the other day and kept calling him Billy or Brinson to my friends without even realizing it. That's MMART6767 via Apple Podcasts. So does he want one for every team over the last decade? I feel like that we should just make that its own podcast, Debo.
We're going to answer a couple of them. We're going to post it on social. But yeah, let's not do every 32 teams is going to take us 6 hours.
No, I'm dead serious. We should make that like an off-season podcast over the next couple of weeks.
But obviously, Brinson saw the huge compliment he got at the beginning of this question. He missed the note from Debo that each of us would pick one team and cover it so that we'd only cover three teams and not all 32.
No, I didn't miss the note. Debo and I are talking about this. You're going to do the Bengals. Ryan's going to do the Steelers. I'll pick some team. And then we'll do the rest of the teams as a separate podcast. It's a good topic. Like, it's a great off-season topic to talk about, don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So are we going to save it for next year? Or are we going to save it for, like, when the NFL ends up postponing, like, week 4 because of coronavirus and we have a free time?
Not me. Who would like to go first, Bengals or Steelers?
I'm actually going to go with the Jaguars because the Steelers are pretty easy. Like,
you going with the Jaguars?
Well, I thought I'm trying to find some good draft picks for the Jaguars. So, just looking quick. I mean, there are a couple. So first round picks, we'll go through the list of guys that could be nominees. Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco's guy. He was their very first pick ever in 1995. Fred Taylor, 98 was their first round pick. He's legit. Let's see what else we got here. Marcus Stroud should be in the mix on Henderson. Those guys could be Byron Leftwich. Maybe he's not among the best two there.
Wilson, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt real quick.
Yeah, please stop him.
The question specifically said over the past decade between 2010 and 2019. I love that you went the extra mile here, did some extra credit.
All right. Here we go.
We are only looking at the past decade.
And I have bad news for you. The Jaguars haven't made a good draft pick
in 10 years. It's more difficult. So we may have to grandfather in those few names that I mentioned, the very first pick. Tony Boselli. Okay, so here we go. 2010, Tyson Alualu, he's average. That's fine. So, look, Blaine Gabbert was 2011, the first-round pick. I'm just going to the first-round picks from now.
Are you looking for the best or the worst here?
It's going to be hard to find the best. Blaine Gabbert on an island would be one of the worst picks. But when you see that the very next year they drafted Justin Blackmon in the first round, you're like, oh, Blaine Gabbert might be the best pick.
But you know what? Blaine Gabbert and Justin Blackmon aren't even the worst pick of those 2 years because they took Brian Anger instead of taking Russell Wilson in the third round. That's a punter in the third round. He's not still in the Jaguars anymore.
Golly. Oh my gosh.
Hey, Brian Anger is one of the best punters in the league.
And he's not on the Jaguars. Then they took Luke Jokel. Terrible pick. 2013 was a bad draft, so we'll give him a bit of a pass there. Blake Bortles in 2014, I mean, look, he took him to the AFC Championship. I mean, anyway, yeah.
He's not worse than Blaine Gabbert, I don't think, if you're ranking quarterbacks, right?
I would say that, like, he was just good enough to get a contract extension, which makes him worse.
He's out of the running for the worst
draft pick. I would say the Blaine Gabbert, I would say it's Justin Blackmon, but Blaine Gabbert, you make the argument because since they drafted him in 2011, that's why they didn't draft Russell Wilson in 2012, because they're like, hey, we still have this guy. We took him in the top 10. We got to see how he pans out. So we're going to take a punter and not take Russell Wilson.
But he made making matter. But then the Blake Bortles argument is because they have Bortles and extended him, they took Fournette over Deshaun Watson in 2017, and they liked Deshaun Watson, as Pete Prisco has told us numerous times. So really, every pick, I don't know how you find a best pick by the Jaguars.
No, the best pick, we'll find that. Justin Blackmon, for me, is the worst pick just because he worked out 0%. Breach's argument is a decent one. I get all that. But I think you can't argue that Justin Blackmon, who was fifth overall, my God. So here's the best player in my mind. It could be Jalen Ramsey is in the conversation. Miles Jack less so. He's sort of fallen off a little bit. Yannick Ngakoue, probably the 2016 draft class. I think you go with Jalen Ramsey, even though clearly he's no longer there.
He's not on the team. He didn't make it to his, he didn't even finish out his first contract.
He's drafted. I mean, does he have to be on the team now?
I mean, I think it's a bad.
Well, it's 2010 to 2019, so some of those guys probably.
They accurately identified Jalen Ramsey as a high level talent and selected him with the fifth overall pick in that year. So yes, if we want to do that, like, I don't know if you can, I mean, Yannick falls in the same boat, right? Like, great pick, but
he's still there.
Telvin Smith was a great pick and he just left the team.
Right. Well, the funny thing is you mentioned that, do they still have to be on the team? Cause I was going to say Allen Robinson might be in the conversation, but clearly he's no longer there either. Yowzers. I'm just going with Jalen Ramsey. All right. If they have to be on the team, I mean, who are you possibly going with?
Josh Allen.
That's not even a joke.
Gardner Minshew. Actually, Gardner Minshew might be the answer. Sixth round pick. He's their starting quarterback. He could be good.
Yeah. He told, coronavirus not to bother him, and coronavirus left. So that's something. Yikes.
I did the same thing.
What a disaster that team is.
So we don't agree that Justin Blackman's the worst. Some are on the Blaine Gabbert.
You could put Miles Jack in the conversation. He's pretty good.
I mentioned that too. I said he's fallen off a little bit. He's still on the team as well, but
I'm fairly certain that they took Blaine Gabbert one pick ahead of JJ Watt.
JJ Watt was like 11th, I think.
Blaine Gabbert was 11th. I think JJ Watt was 12th, and then Ponder.
Gabbert was 10th.
Gabbert 10th, Watt 11th, then Ponder was 12th or something like that. It wasn't a good choice.
This is tough. Yeah, this is. I'd rather do this than the Steelers. The Steelers are pretty straightforward. All right, so I'm going Justin Blackmon. Are you guys going with who for the worst?
I will take. I'll take Blaine Gabbert because they took him over Watt, and then it took them out of the running to go after Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Robert Griffin, or even, I mean, frankly, Ryan Tannehill.
Anyone will do better. Yeah. Reach. Who's your worst?
Am I still doing Jacksonville, or am I doing the Bengals?
No, I didn't know if you had any thoughts on the Jacksonville before we wrapped it up.
I agree with everything. Justin Blackmon was the top of my list because, look, he was top five. Was he top five? He was the fifth overall pick. I think he's technically still on the roster, except like the suspended roster, where if he ever decided to come back, Jacksonville still holds his rights. I think that's the clear cut answer. And I think you can make an argument for Blaine Gabbert because that set the franchise back so far. But then the kind of an argument for Blake Bortles, but just because he went to one AFC title game, I feel like that puts him slightly above Blaine
Gabbert. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going, I don't care what the rules are. Jalen Ramsey's the best player.
That's right. Fine. Okay.
Who's next?
What about the Cincinnati Bengals?
The Bengals, the best non-quarterback pick over the past decade. I came up with two. You guys can decide which one you like better or decide if there is one you like even more. Number one is AJ Green. Yes, he missed the whole entire season. We can hear Brent's diatribe about how the Bengals are a dysfunctional organization because they practice in Dayton. They let their star player on a high school playing field and he injured his ankle. We know that, Brenton. But still, AJ Green's been fantastic.
I like that you don't want to bash the Bengals, so you frame that as me, something I would say. You know the truth and don't want to thrash the Bengals. So you're like, yeah, I mean, you know, Brinson says this.
Anyway. And then the other one is 2010, so at the beginning of the decade, both at the beginning of the decade, because AJ Green's 2011, is Geno Atkins, who I think was one of the biggest steals. He has been one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL over the past decade. I think he was on the only player from the Bengals on the all decade team. He was taken in the fourth round and
he has a higher career average, approximate value
higher than Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton and AJ Green.
So, yeah, Atkins has been, he's in Cincinnati. He's on the defensive line too. He gets lost to the, like, a common fan that doesn't really follow the Bengals, but Geno Atkins was,
I think Geno Atkins
was over the past decade.
Fourth round pick, and he was in 2010, and he's still playing at a high level for that team. I think it's a slam dunk.
Yeah, I think he's my number one. Was there another one, or is that just those two?
Remember, it's non-quarterbacks, obviously. So
just those two.
Oh, yeah, I'm going with Geno. All right, who's at the bottom?
He said non-quarterbacks
for that one, for the good guys.
Yeah,
the best non-quarterback
for
and the
bad
absolute
players.
Worst pick.
Yeah, the worst pick could be a quarterback.
Yeah.
The worst pick is going to be Joe Burrow, next team. Nice.
That's not funny, Ryan.
No, it's not.
That is not funny.
It is not funny.
I'm actually hurt that you said that.
I have a nominee for...
No, I already have. I have one, and you guys might have a different... I'm only going to name one here. The worst pick, I think, in the past 10 years was Cedric Agbuye.
Wow, I'm shocked that you didn't pronounce that correctly.
Well,
he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
You pronounce it, Brinson.
Cedric Agbuye.
I actually might be leaning with Brent.
I don't usually mispronounce Bengals players' names.
Everything else
we'll
is
see. Devo, keep both of these so I can press the button and hear how Brinson mispronounced it, even though we'll never use this name again because he's probably out of the NFL in like a year. But he was first-round pick in 2015, and he never really did anything, battled injuries, and only started 25 games with them over 4 years.
All right, here's mine.
Low first-round pick, though. Like 20, I agree with you, he's a bad pick, but 21st overall is not.
But it could be anybody. It doesn't have to be a first-rounder.
And I will say this, too. Going with Cedric and Jake Fisher, that combination was supposed to reset the Bengals' offensive line.
Neither worked.
And it really led to Andy Dalton's demise.
Well, and not just because of that, because they Fisher was also a tackle, so that's what they spent their first two picks on. And because they spent their first two picks, that's why they let Andrew Whitworth walk.
Right.
Is what led to Andy Dalton's demise, because the offensive line fell apart after that. So it's the whole top two picks of the 2015 draft.
No breach. Pronounce his name again, Cedric.
I don't want to.
No, just tell me what you said the first time. I think you're right.
Agbuye.
No, you guys are both wrong. According to the pronunciation guide provided by Debo. Agbuye.
I don't think that's correct.
Debo's making it up.
I think there's a good case that John Ross is the worst pick.
I was going to say John Ross for me is in the mix. Here's my list of guys. Billy Price, maybe, because he got benched. I don't think he's the worst, but I think he's in the conversation.
Are you aware, Ryan, by the way, of who was drafted immediately, one selection after John Ross?
Let's see. He was 9th overall, 10th.
Patrick Mahomes. Oh, not sure if you've heard of him. He's okay.
He's worth a quarter of $1 billion. And
the Bengals were in the market for a quarterback. They're not drafting Patrick Mahomes. Andy Dalton led in the playoffs for 5 straight years because he missed the playoffs 1 year. They're not going to replace him. They were not going to take a quarterback in the first round ever. And that doesn't mean John Ross was a good pick. It wasn't a good pick. They never should have made that pick.
I mean, the Packers were never going to take a quarterback. They weren't in the market for a quarterback.
Brett Favre was 36. Andy Dalton was like 28 years old when this draft was up.
Andy Dalton.
28 years old, 5 straight playoff appearances. Brinson, you're not drafting a quarterback. That's just foolishness. You'd be fired as the general manager. They don't even have a general manager.
No, I wouldn't, because I would have Patrick Mahomes on my roster.
Reach, you won't believe this, but I distinctly remember thinking the Bengals are idiots for taking John Ross. I distinctly remember Brinson saying, I love this pick. This is
John Ross.
Transformed the offense.
By the way, Andy Dalton was 30 years old at that time. He spent 2 more years on the Bengals, and now he's on the Dallas Cowboys, and the Bengals got lucky because they have Joe Burrow, but they could have Patrick Mahomes.
And what do you think Patrick Mahomes does in the Bengals offense? You think the Bengals have a Super Bowl win?
No, he's out of the league now because he has 2 broken arms.
Exactly. Your argument is
I don't want Patrick Mahomes because my team is the Bengals. Like,
I have another name. I want to run by Breach and Brent.
No, my argument is you're totally revisionist history. The Bengals went out of taking a quarterback.
Why is this the day that you're getting angry at Brinson for doing what he always?
I'm not angry.
Okay.
I'm saying Brinson would not be a good general manager.
No, we all agree on that.
Okay.
Let me throw this name at you. Brinson, you can answer too, but I think it'll affect Breach more as the worst player in the last decade. I'm thinking of one play in particular, Jeremy Hill.
Yeah, I mean, he had that fumble against the Steelers, and because, I mean, he couldn't show his face in Cincinnati after that. He's the reason they didn't win the playoff game. The playoff drought was going to end with A.J. McCarron beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Jeremy Hill fumbled it away. And the thing was, he had a decent career in Cincinnati. He was pretty solid for 3 years. But all anyone is going to remember, anyone in Cincinnati is going to associate him with that fumble. And even though he was decent, you can put him on the list for that.
And do you know who? So drafted not far after Jeremy Hill, Carlos Hyde, 2 picks later. Carlos Hyde would not have fumbled that ball. And then a couple of picks after that, Allen Robinson and Jimmy Garoppolo, followed by Jarvis Landry. All three of those guys you would clearly much rather have than Jeremy Hill.
Well, like to Breach's point, Jeremy Hill was not bad.
Until Morgan Moses too?
What about Morgan Moses? He's not a game changer.
I mean, you would rather have Morgan Moses than the offensive lineman that the Bengals had.
Well, sure. I would rather have you than those two guys.
I'm just saying in 2014, they took Jeremy Hill over those group of players. Morgan Moses is there. You could have built – and the next year, they took two tackles in the first two picks. If you'd gotten Morgan Moses, maybe he's your right tackle and Whitworth's your left tackle and you feel safe. You don't have to draft Cedric and Jake.
But Jeremy Hill went over 1,000 yards rushing his rookie year. He led the NFL in rushing touchdowns in 2015, and he had a pretty solid 2016.
And he
was the 55th overall pick.
And he probably prevented Andy Dalton from ever winning a playoff game in his entire career. So.
And, well, Dalton wasn't the starter in that game. Boom! Dunked on.
Don't on yourself about the Bengals not winning. All right, we're moving on. Let's pick a random team for me to do.
Let me see what we got. How about the? I'm not looking at the teams.
Go do the Panthers.
Oh, do the.
I feel like that's who you would want to do. The Detroit Lions.
Yeah, do Detroit. That's a good team.
Right, that's a good one. Random high interest team. Okay, so we're doing the best non-quarterback. And we start in 2010, which means that Calvin Johnson, of course, is off the list. Matthew Stafford is actually 2009, so it wouldn't count. And Dominican Sue, second overall. So I think we'll pass on that probably. Surely they've had something, better since then. I am not seeing a lot to really dig into here. Oh, Kenny Galladay's the answer. Third round pick in 2017. I think pretty clearly the best pick that they've had in the past 10 years, just in terms of value, the player, he's really developing into a quality player. Any arguments for anything else?
I would say Darius Slay in the second round, pretty strong also.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know if it's better than Galladay, but that's pretty good value.
Calvin Joy, second round pick in 2014.
Yeah, he was good with the Patriots.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Darius Slay's gone too, but.
I don't give you any credit if you draft, I don't give you credit for drafting a guy who then is good with another team. That's not a great draft pick. You're an idiot.
You guys want a fun fact? My dad was drafted by the Lions in 1978. And of course, as Brinson's point here, he didn't play a single game with them, but played in the NFL for 14 years.
And then the worst pick for the Lions. So this is, it has to be, I hate to dunk on him here, but I think it has to be Eric Ebron, right? Because if you look at in the 2013 draft,
Nick Farley wasn't great.
Yeah, but here's who. No, he wasn't. They didn't take Nick Farley second overall. I think I may have argued that they should take. Did they take him second overall? Is that right?
13th.
Yeah. There was an argument that he would go second overall. And that was in the 2011 draft. So he was.
Okay.
So here are the list of players taken immediately after Eric. Why did Eric Ebron just disappear? Hit the wrong button. Hold on. Immediately after Eric Ebron. It is not a great list if you're an Eric Ebron supporter, but I'll let you guys decide ultimately whether it was the right move or not. I'm going to list six players taken after Eric directly. The six players taken immediately after Eric Ebron. Here they are. Taylor Lewan, Odell Beckham, Aaron Donald, Kyle Fuller, Ryan Shazier, and Zach Martin.
Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty bad, guys.
People struggle to hit on tight ends in the first round.
They do.
Because you're looking for guys who aren't blockers, but who are receivers, and they typically don't work out because they don't block.
Well, and to complicate matters, 5 years earlier, they had taken Brandon Pettigrew out of Oklahoma State in the first round of tight end. Mm-hmm. That did not work out for them.
Well, he blocks and he doesn't catch. So they needed both of them on the field at the same time, I guess. I would argue maybe Tease Tabor's in the conversation. Because they took him in the second round, and he washed out super fast.
Ooh, this is actually not great either. Here's the guys immediately taken after Nick Fairley. Robert Quinn, Mike Pouncey, Ryan Kerrigan, Nate Solder, Corey Legit, Prince McNamara, Adrian Claiborne, and then a little bit after Cameron Jordan, Jimmy Smith, Mark Ingram, Cameron Hayward. So that's not
right. That was that 2011 class that's stacked with Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Titus Young had mental health issues, so I don't think we can include him. But Beth didn't have a great career.
He got hurt, though.
The irony about the Ebron pick is that over the past decade, there have only been two tight ends selected in the top 10 of the NFL draft, and the Lions did it both times. You don't take a tight end in the top 10, but Detroit did it twice, and no one else did it even once.
Well, look, Nick Fairley, in his defense, he had at least 5.5 sacks 3 times in his 6-year career, including 6.5 his final year with the Saints in 2016 when he was 28 years old. But even still, after that season, he wasn't re-signed.
I think Ebron's worse than Fairley.
Yeah, no, I think you're
okay.
Right.
All right, now let's move on to another team in the NFC. I'm just kidding. I think it's a fun exercise, though. I think we should go through and do that for every team for a mailbag. Or are we running out of time before the season bunny quotes starts? What does he call them? Bunny ears quotes?
Bunny ears.
Bunny quotes. There's no ears involved. Just
is that something ears, like the parents said?
The ears are implied. Bunny quotes.
Could this be elephant ears? Why does that have to be bunny ears?
Elephants don't have ears. Like, put them up there.
That would be weird.
Bunny, see?
Elephant ears.
What elephants? Like, where'd you go to the zoo, Wilson? Yeah, what?
These bunny ears? What are these?
You can hold them.
They definitely look like bunny
elephant.
Ears. Yeah. Please, Steve, you might want to clip that for future usage. And we got a snort at Orion. Love it.
There it is. Home run.
This is why you got to watch the YouTube to see what we're doing. It's getting a little crazy. Are you getting the next question, Brinson? Is that what we're doing here?
I am.
Okay.
Go for it.
It says, Tyron Mathieu.
No, it doesn't.
Could you please ask Breach? What was the name you couldn't pronounce to start before the podcast?
T-O-M-M-Y is how you would normally say it.
Wait, was this before or after you didn't know how a beer koozie worked?
I can't do it because the beer is open. I mean, in theory, this soft drink is open, so I can't reattach the koozie.
But hold up the koozie.
For YouTube listeners, I was pointing out that I have this stupid, this dumb college jersey, like a football jersey koozie, and I put a can in here. I was like, how are you supposed to drink it out of this little hole? And Breach is like, that's for a bottle, moron.
I actually had one. I forgot.
Oh, look at that. The Steelers are
Brinson did not know how a beer bottle koozie worked. That is the more.
Anyway, we were talking about golf, and Breach was asking what I thought about Tommy Fleetwood. And we were like, it's Tommy, you dumb dumb. What are you talking about? And then we realized
Tommy.
That Breach, and then Breach, to prove the point, brought up a broadcast that was like, here's how they pronounce the name. And it was a British broadcast, and we realized that.
It wasn't just any British accent. It was our good friend Trevor Noah at the Daily Show, fellow Viacom CBS outlet. So you can't argue
co-worker.
With that. Pronounces it the same way I do. That's all.
Right,
that's
but all. Trevor Noah is British. You are not.
First of all, Trevor Noah from South Africa.
He's South African, but yeah, but it's okay.
Okay, so
Brinson, while drinking a bottle beer koozie with a beer can. Trevor
Lawrence. I apologize to Trevor Lawrence, but I meant that he has a British South African accent. I didn't mean he's British. That was wrong of me. Probably wading into waters I don't want to wade into here. My point being.
No, I think that's fine.
Yeah. He
does a lot of accents. I don't think he has a British South African accent. He has a South African accent.
My point being is that Breach very clearly is using Trevor Noah and other British type people to learn how to, Brendan Steele misses putt, to learn how to pronounce names. And that's how we end up with things like
Tyron Mathieu.
He's like, so like Trevor Noah is doing the day show. He's like, all right, we'd like to welcome on now hero of the Super Bowl 53, Tyron Mathieu, as well as Tommy Fleetwood. And that's how Breach, we figured out. We cracked the code. Breach is using British people to learn how to pronounce names and then using those pronunciations in day-to-day life as an American on a podcast about football, which, frankly, seems fairly inefficient, John.
Look, if you want to do this experiment at home, you have a kid that is under the age of 4, let your kid watch Peppa Pig nonstop for a month and nothing else. They will be speaking in a British accent, and you will still think it's adorable. Maybe not as adorable when you're my age, but there's nothing wrong with learning from people who speak with accents, Brinson. Let's be honest.
And, of course, serving as the head coach of the Super Bowl in this year's contest, it's Bill Belichick. He says it. How do you say Belichick?
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. Oh, my God, it is how you do it. Bill Belichick. You look up – you. Do you research everybody's name from British people?
Maybe. I watch The Daily Show every night.
That's I should probably sit and say this, but I don't watch it as much as I used to. We used to watch it. I used to watch it. I loved Jon Stewart, and I just haven't, you know.
You remember Jon Stewart went to college?
You could win many.
You know it. Played soccer.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah, in the 80s.
I wonder if you went up and told, like, hey, Jon Stewart, I went to William & Mary too. I wonder if he'd run away like Bleep McDermott.
Yeah, probably. He'd be as impressed as Sean McDermott was.
All right.
All right, read the question.
Oh, yeah. Next question. This podcast helps get me through the day. Love the podcast. Listen to it every day. Thankful that one, Bleep is gone.
Whoa! Just so we're clear, Sean is gone.
Bleep that out, Debo. We don't say it anymore. And two, you turned me on to Sip of Sunshine IPA, which I found at my local Wegmans. Truly a good beer.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even, it's not good. It's great. Yeah, and if you get to Wegmans, man, good for you. I might go get dinner at Wegmans. I've never been to
Wegmans. I don't know how Wegmans sushi is in Raleigh, but in upstate New York, it's actually really, really, really good.
I might go get that for dinner. Would you feel comfortable eating sushi from a grocery store in a pandemic?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Sushi, I mean, Wegmans isn't just your run of the mill corner IGA. They're legit.
Yeah, I know. I
mean, you don't have a Sip of Sunshine down there. Is that correct?
I've never been to the Wegmans, so I doubt it, but I haven't checked.
You better check that out.
I should go for the first time probably tonight.
Oh, yeah.
This podcast.
The bomb. What are the other nice restaurants that are – restaurants, grocery stores that are below, you know
We have a Harris Teeter, of course.
That's nice now? It used to be just regular.
Well, I would say they're tiered like this. Fresh Market, which is the heat. Fresh Market's awesome. They're always like – have like – it always smells like freshly ground, like artisan coffee beans.
Yeah.
And they've got like great, like, you know, they got good deals on like crab cakes.
Whole Foods, little thing?
I'm 0% surprised that you shop at Fresh Market.
Fresh Market, it's great. It's expensive.
I'm not saying it's not. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Whole Foods is right, is a step down from Fresh Market in my opinion.
Wow. Good Lord. That's a lot. You spend a lot of money then.
No, not price. I think Fresh Market and Whole Foods are probably the same price.
I see. Just experience in your mind.
I mean, Whole Foods gets you bad. Like you go there, you buy an avocado, like you go to get an avocado and you walk out, it's like $74.
Right.
Then I would say then below Whole Foods is Harris Teeter and then below Harris Teeter is Food Lion.
What about Piggly Wiggly?
Piggly Wiggly, fantastic, but probably closer to Food Lion and only available down east.
What about Kroger?
Kroger is gone now.
Kroger is not gone. Is it based in Cincinnati? Is the greatest grocery store on planet Earth?
I think you should Google Kroger and find out if it's still working. Many things in Cincinnati, I think it failed.
Are you kidding me? Kroger is the largest grocery chain in the country, maybe in the world. It's not failed.
Reach picking some weird hills to die on. I will predict
correct that hills.
Wegmans will be tier 1B once you get there.
Do you think Wegmans will be slot in between? Like, is it better than Whole Foods?
No, it'll be below that. It's bigger.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm sorry here. I'm sorry, Breach. Kroger bailed on the triangle.
Ooh.
It moved out, citing too much competition.
Oh, by the way, one more thing about.
Because there was this Kroger on Six Forks Road that was like right down, not very far from us and like right down the street from a Harris Teeter. And literally everything was like a quart, like 30% off the price of a Harris Teeter. And it was just as good.
Both Brinson and Joey Crenshaw, who sent this in, next time you go to Wegmans, sushi's good. See if they have Sip of Sunshine in Raleigh. And also, I'm not kidding. Go to the bakery and buy the chocolate cake. It is the best chocolate cake you've ever had in your life.
By the way, this question has nothing to do with grocery stores.
And don't sleep on Publix either. Don't.
Oh, you know what? Sorry. I did. Publix recently got into the Raleigh market. I would put Publix somewhere. I think Publix is slightly better than Harris Teeter, maybe. Maybe a lot better.
Report back. Talk next week.
Okay.
Trader Joe's. Will Trader Joe's.
Oh, Trader Joe's. Good call.
Little TJ's.
Yeah, like I like.
I was thought Trader Joe's above Harris Teeter for sure.
Like, what's your favorite thing at Trader Joe's?
The cheap ass wine.
Mine are JoJo's. I can eat 4 million JoJo's. Oh my god.
So the Wegmans actually open next to the Trader Joe's here.
I honestly think we could have our own grocery store podcast. Debo, do we need that right now? Anybody at Viacom CBS need that?
All right. So Fresh Market to me is a clear step above all of those.
All right.
I can't rank Wegmans. We haven't been yet. I need to go.
Aldi.
How would you guys put Trader Joe's and Whole Foods? I might lean Trader Joe's.
It's so much cheaper.
Exactly.
And the people there are always smiling. They wear Hawaiian shirts. You can find everything. The thing I don't like about going to any grocery store is that's 4 million square feet. You can never find anything. Because my wife asked for like the smallest can of spice. I don't know where it is.
Like coriander?
Yeah. I'm not going to ask anyone for coriander. Are you crazy? So at Trader Joe's, you can find it.
Yeah, that's a good point. My problem with Whole Foods is that, I mean, frankly, the whole experience is quite douchey.
And this is Captain Douche.
I mean, everybody's like very organic and excited about things. It's like, no. Quit acting like you're saving the world.
Where you yelled at the guy wearing a mask.
You're lining. No, that was at a Fresh Market. I was staring the guy down.
Upscale yelling.
Now you have to wear one in all these places. But Trader Joe's, I mean, Whole Foods, it feels like these guys are trying to save the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, you're lining Jeff Bezos' pockets. Or as Breach would say, Jeff Bezos.
He owns that.
He owns Amazon, which owns Whole Foods.
You don't use your Amazon thing for Whole Foods?
Yeah, you got your Amazon card. You get 5% off of
it. I don't think
some items. It's not the whole thing.
I don't think
you use the Amazon credit card. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, this is way off the
Devo's like, get back on track, guys.
Devo's like, look at me. I said, I didn't write down rank grocery stores. Although Devo did throw out Trader Joe's and help contribute.
But this is definitely the worst you've been since Game of Thrones last year.
Really? In terms of like random off the rail stuff?
I don't know. Maybe it's just in the moment.
Devo, not everyone watches Game of Thrones, but everybody goes to the grocery store. You have to buy food. So I think everyone knows what we're talking about. I would think.
Yeah.
You know what is happening? It's Monday, right? And I think I'm getting nostalgic for the pre-Devo days because I'm realizing that Devo's 1 year anniversary is coming up on this podcast.
Oh boy.
Wednesday is Devo's 1 year anniversary. I don't know how to spell Devo's last name, but you should tweet at him. Follow him on Twitter. I could probably spell it if I tried, Devo, but I'm not.
E-E-B-A-R-D-I-N-A-S-I-S.
Second. Yep. I-S.
Wow.
Yes. What's the chances Devo just turns in his pink slip on Wednesday and just says, try working with Brinson for 1 year. Bye, guys. Bye, Felicia.
I'm out. Bye, Felicia.
60%. I don't know.
All right. Does,
all right. Let me finish the thing. Anyway. I'd recommend it if you ever find it. Any beer from Evergreen Brewery from Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. Juice Juicy is their best IPA. That's a great name. What NFL players, while not bust, haven't lived up to their potential? For example, Haha Clinton Dix has had a solid career, but perhaps is expected to be a multi-year all-pro player. Again, keep doing what you guys are doing and stop sleeping on the Steelers this year. Joey Crenshaw via Apple Podcast. Okay, so what is the best way to do this? Maybe to take, I don't think you can use anybody from, I mean, I think you got to look at first round picks, right? Cause that's what we're looking at.
I don't think
we should pick anybody from 2018 or sooner.
Right. So scratch.
2017 qualifies.
Yeah, sure. Let's see what we got.
But most of these guys are still, I mean, that's like John Ross. Like, we don't know.
We know John Ross.
I know, but I'm saying like, all right, well, let's.
I thought John Ross could fall in that category. He's gotten better every year and he's got a make or break season.
They took him one pick ahead of Patrick Mahomes and he has, by my count, 49 career receptions in 3 years. What are you talking about?
That's not bad for a single season for a running back.
Exactly. Here's a good example. How about Mike Williams taking above, John Ross? And ahead of Christian McCaffrey. Is that a bust?
Had some injury issues. Hasn't really panned out though. Yeah.
From that same draft, I think you could throw out Malik Hooker.
Injury issues again.
Yeah.
How about this guy? How about Devontae Parker? Brinson's guy.
Oh boy.
Ooh, interesting. Was he 2017? You're just picking up random guys.
It was 2016.
Okay.
I think. 2015.
I feel like 2017, we almost haven't, because like John Ross could have a breakout this year. I mean, like in theory, he could, or like Evan Engram could have a monster year, or Malik Hooker. So I think let's start with 2016. So you think Devontae Parker qualifies? I would,
he's 2015, but yeah, I went back to 2015 as well.
What about Jared Goff?
Yeah. I was thinking about quarterbacks. I mean, he clearly hasn't lived up to it, but he makes a ton of money. They're not going to do anything with him.
But he's not a bust, but obviously he's not a bust. But I don't think he's lived up to the hype of a number one overall pick.
And he hasn't lived to the hype now playing in Sean McVay's system, which makes you wonder, okay, how would he do it in literally anyone else's system, not named Kyle Shanahan? He'd probably be worth.
I think maybe a better example from that draft class could be Leonard Floyd.
Again, injuries or no? Like, Artie Burns is straight up doo-doo. He was 25th overall.
I mean, Leonard Floyd has 18 and a half sacks in his career, which is not great, but he's been a pretty good player. But
what about Will Fuller? I mean, injuries again, but.
Yeah, Will Fuller's had some. Yeah, Will Fuller could qualify. Shaq Lawson?
I think a lot of it's.
It's hard to call somebody a bust later in the first round.
Well, not a bust so much, just hasn't lived up to expectations. Like Ha Ha Clinton Dix, which is a good example.
Ha Ha Clinton Dix is a great example.
He's the only example.
That's not true.
There was one player that fits this category, and we can't find anyone else.
Trey Waynes.
Yeah.
You mean Bengals star cornerback Trey Waynes? Right. Won his first Super Bowl ring in Cincinnati, Trey Waynes?
Let's see. Who else from?
Actually, I think Devontae Parker is the
What about Dante Fowler?
Oh, wait, Devontae Parker is 2015.
Yeah, he's the equivalent of Ha Ha Clinton Dix on the offensive side in my mind. So I think I win.
That's a good example. I'm just trying. I really do think it just has to be a first round pick.
I don't. Was Ha Ha a first round pick?
Yeah, he was first round pick in 2014.
Vic Beasley.
He led the league in sacks one year and then got cut. And
kind of flopped.
But I mean, like, I'm saying, like, yeah, maybe. Jake Matthews been good.
Here's like. Is Jadeveon Clowney lived up to the hype?
No. But he hadn't been a bust. Maybe Clowney's a good example. Nobody says, how could you have taken Clowney over Greg Robinson, Blake Bortles, and Sammy Watkins? Does Sammy Watkins count?
Maybe. He got helped by playing Chiefs last year. Khalil Mack, obviously, you would take him over Jadeveon Clowney. But Jadeveon Clowney isn't known for being an edge rusher.
I think Clowney's a great call.
Pass rusher, that is.
But nobody freaks out about taking Sammy Watkins over Mike Evans, and in hindsight, it was a terrible pick.
Yeah. So Khalil Mack has twice as many sacks as Jadeveon Clowney, and they were taking four picks apart.
Yeah. There isn't anybody, I don't think, from the 2013 first round who was actually good.
That was a tough class, yeah.
That was awful. DeAndre Hopkins was in that first round. Travis Frederick, too. 2012.
There we go.
Dontari Poe?
Yeah, he's still playing. He's hanging on, but
Desmond Trufant was in the 2013.
Yeah.
He could qualify.
I'm going with Jadeveon and Devontae. Those are my picks.
All right, I like those. That's a hard question.
Yeah, a lot of hard questions.
To debate. Yeah, I know. The mailbag people are just, you guys are testing us.
All right, let's take a quick break, and that's it. That's a good list. Turn that into a 10 podcast too. And we come back, we'll talk more mailbag questions.
The all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Awesome podcast from L. Joshua 0 via Apple Podcasts. Hey, Pick 6 team, awesome podcast. A few points and a question. Yes, Brinson cuts people off too much, but it is worth it when he freaks out. And yes, he is funny. Thank you. Wilson is awesome. And I used to swear that Breach and Bleep used to be the same person putting on a slightly different voice. I'm all audio, never video. Question. Reminder, if you're all audio, but never video, you can still subscribe to YouTube and help us out. Question. Tua gets dinged for having an amazing receiving core at Bama, and it said that it may have made him look better than it really is. But why can't it be flipped to say when you have a transcendent quarterback, you encourage the development of your wideouts as well? With the four presumably first-round wideouts he played with, all have progressed this far if they had Hurts or Mac Jones playing the whole time instead of Tua. Curious to hear your thoughts as a Finns fan overseas in the Cayman Islands. No way. Who needs the football back or else I will hate my fall. Keep up the good work, guys. I love the Caymans. Go scuba diving there. I haven't been in a while, but we usually go to Cayman Brac. We used to go once a year. My dad would take me. And then I got married and had a kid. And now they don't want to take us anywhere.
So this is a good question. I like this question. So Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, this year Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith are all going to get drafted probably in the first round. So those are four first round talents running around there. And you could argue that Mac Jones, who ended up coming in for Tua once Tua got hurt, would have some of that success. But I think, and Jalen Hurts, but I think the takeaway is that, yes, part of it's Tua, part of it's those four first round wide receivers, but it's also the five first round offensive linemen, the two first round running backs, and the 11 first round defensive players on the other side of the ball that make Alabama so good. So you can interchange one or two or three guys and still have some of the similar results. I went back and looked at the 2013 season at Alabama where Breach's guy AJ McCarron played his final year, and I think he was a fifth round pick maybe for the Bengals, who almost won that playoff game. Breach, his wide receivers his final year there, Amari Cooper, he's okay. Kevin Norwood, I think he was drafted in the seventh round. I don't think he played, though. TJ Yeldon, OJ Howard. So, again, Kenyon Drake was on that team. Stacked. Derrick Henry was on that team. Do you have players that can help you out around you, even if the quarterback, in this case, AJ McCarron, was only a day three pick? I think everyone helps everyone, and you're playing as Alabama, you know, if we're sort of half-joking, that's the 33rd NFL franchise, and they're just dominating just about everyone they play.
Well, and I think that is the thing right there, is that it is hard to gauge because you are more talented than 80% of the teams you play. It's hard to gauge how good the quarterback is. I think we all agree that Tua is very talented, but there's a reason that Alabama has never really produced. I mean, it's been forever since they had a good quarterback come out. And it's because when your offensive linemen are better, your running backs are better, your receivers are better, when you get to the NFL, you're not going to have that advantage anymore. So it's about how fast the quarterback can think, how fast he can react, how quickly he can learn defenses. Because if you didn't learn a defense so well in college, well, your offensive line might be able to make up for those mistakes because they can block a little bit longer. Your receivers are better than the corners, so they can get open faster. So you have all those advantages working in your favor that you're not going to have in the NFL. And I think that's one reason why we haven't seen an Alabama quarterback succeed at the pro level since Joe Namath, I think.
I was going to say Joe Namath, and you were serious.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Namath. So I think that is why you see Tua get dinged a little bit, because it comes with being the quarterback at Alabama that people want to see that your talent translates to the NFL before they say, all right, this guy's going to be superstar.
Reach, what about, I think, did Richard Todd go to Alabama?
I think Richard Todd did go to Alabama.
Let me check. I don't know why he
went to Alabama.
AJ McCarron.
Pretty outhouse.
Richard Todd, 1976, sixth overall pick.
Alabama?
Alabama.
Well, look at that.
Oh, Ken Stabler. Ken Stabler. Yep. Ken Stabler.
But, yeah.
How dare you? Can you imagine Ken Stabler in college at Bama in 1963 to 1967? Cause that dude used to ride around when he was a pro with the Raiders, like Chief and Sigs on jet skis with like a bunch of women.
He probably was cleaner cut cause playing for Bear Bryant. I don't think he probably looked like the rock star that he eventually became. See if you can dial up any Ken Stabler college pictures.
I'm guessing that he was not less wild in college.
No, that's right. I'm just saying he may have looked, he was super clean cut at Alabama, but he could still have been buck wild at the parties and having a good old time. He was clean cut.
Yeah, I mean, he was there in like the early 60s. Like you weren't showing up with like a hippie hair in the.
Even yeah, he was 68 draft.
Even Joe Namath, Alabama, his photo was super clean cut.
Yeah, so Nick Saban would have gotten. Did he have Bertie Croyle? No, right?
No, I don't think he was.
Nick Saban. Yeah. So Nick Saban's Alabama quarterbacks are Greg McElroy, AJ McCarron, Jalen Hurts, Debo's guy, who obviously transferred to Oklahoma when he was replaced by Tua Tagovailoa, and those are the four guys that have made it to the pros, or at least were drafted out of Alabama. And I think one of the things with Greg McElroy and AJ McCarron that stands out is, like you were saying, they're not. Tua was the first really dynamic quarterback that Saban had.
Drop back passer.
Yeah, I mean, like they have always asked their quarterbacks to.
They really said the classic like pro style quarterback for so long.
Right, to be game managers. I mean, you know, when you look at like the production of these guys at college, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like outrageous. Like Greg McElroy had 5,691 passing yards in two seasons as a starter, basically. You know, that's not a ton. He threw for 39 touchdowns, which is pretty good over 4 years, but not a lot. I mean, that's not crazy, you know?
Burrow threw for 60 last year.
What's that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Burrow, yeah. And AJ McCarron, same deal. They were what Nick Saban wanted. He wanted guys who could manage his system, make the throws when they needed to, take some shots down the field, but largely be game managers. And then Tua sort of became a more dynamic guy. And Blake Sims, Jake Coker, and John Parker Wilson also within that range of quarterbacks, as Debo points out. So helpful, Debo. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think to answer the question, I mean, for me, it was unfair to point out all the players that Tua had around him because nobody was also pointing out that Joe Burrow had just as much, if not more talent around him at LSU. Like people weren't pointing that out. You know, they weren't noting that he had a crazy good offensive staff coaching him, that he had tons of first round or second or third round talent around him as well. It seemed to be sort of a double-edged sword in that sense. And I think Tua, people wanted to ding Tua for whatever reason coming in. Cause he had been the guy for a while. That's just how it kind of works. If you're an established Heisman favorite, people are looking for reasons to ding you. And Joe Burrow, you know, rose throughout the season in terms of his hype and his production. And so everyone was just sort of riding the wave and they weren't looking for reasons to bag on Burrow. So
that's the point. I guarantee you it won't happen with Joe Burrow cause he left, but Trevor Lawrence might be a guy who gets dinged for being so great for so long. If he doesn't play lights out every single snap, there will be people saying, okay, what's wrong with Trevor Lawrence? So,
well, and then you also have the ding.
It happened last year
that we talked about with Tua that LSU hasn't been able to produce a good NFL quarterback either.
But don't forget who was coaching at LSU for a long time. It was Nick Saban. You know, he did the same thing. Like he wasn't looking to have a high octane passing attack. He wanted to run the football and play great defense and grind you into dust. And that's just how he rolls. And he's sort of changed a bit now that he's gotten. Who's the OC? Steve Sarkisian. Yeah.
By the way, Sarkisian just got a raise. He was making $1.6 million last year. Guess what he's making this year?
2.5.
Really? Wow. Getting that kind of, I thought you saw it. Getting that kind of pay bump?
And then before Sarkisian was, Brian Daboll, and before that was Lane Kiffin. So, I mean, maybe the other way around. Kiffin and then.
Lane Kiffin got left at the airport because he didn't show up on time.
No. Saban told him to GTFO, cause he was like, he's just taking the head coaching job at FAU.
I think before that he got left somewhere because he didn't show up.
That was when he got fired at USC. They left him at the airport. They're like, you're fired. Goodbye. And left him at the airport.
Crazy time.
Yeah, it's insane. Anyway, I really think it's more of a byproduct about what Saban has wanted to do. And then he's sort of changed that dynamic a bit as he's moved along in recent years. So I think. It's an unfair ding to answer the question of the listener. Moving along. Super friends, do you guys want to do some trivia? Heck yeah, we do. Well, you don't have a choice. Oh, okay. What do the last names George, Thomas, Kennedy, and McCants have in common? This is Jonathan, a.k.a. Walking Creeper. Is this the same guy or is it? I assume it is, but or they're just like a bunch of rogue walking creepers out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's funny is that before I got to the McCants part, I thought George Thomas Kennedy was someone's name. Like George was his first name. Thomas was his middle name and Kennedy was his last name.
The last names, George, Thomas, Kennedy, and McCants have in common. I can't look at this question and not think about Rashad McCants.
That's what immediately my mind's good. I don't know any of the McCants. I don't know Rashad Kennedy or Rashad Thomas or Rashad George, though. I don't know the answer. When do we find out the answer?
All I can think about is Ian Kennedy. Is it possible that I don't know. I think he left the answer.
I have the answer if you guys want to ponder it a little bit more, if you want me to share a little bit.
Well, I think Brinson just gave us the answer. I wouldn't have gotten the answer, but I have it now because Brinson helped me because he's a super friend.
Are they all named Rashad?
Why don't you
give us a little hint and see if Ryan and I can deduce it.
Let's do it.
You quickly Googled it.
What? No, I didn't. You said Rashad McCants, and it got me thinking. And then I got it.
Okay, well, what are the hints?
Thomas.
The hint is Keith McCants.
Keith George, Keith Thomas, Keith Kennedy?
I think we're barking at the wrong tree.
My hint was going to be their last names of players in a certain draft class. You have to identify the players and the year.
Oh, Lincoln Kennedy?
Nope.
Who else is a Kennedy?
John F. Kennedy.
These were the first four picks in a certain draft class.
Oh,
Jeff George.
Wilson's on the right track
Thomas
here.
Is that Thurman?
Thurman Thomas?
No.
Thurman's older, I think.
I can't look at this and not think of Paul George, Ian Thomas, Ian Kennedy, and Rashad McCants. I'm lost on this trivia question, so I got nothing.
Thomas is a Penn State running back.
Oh, Blair.
Yep.
All these guys have girls' first names.
Cortez Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Who's McCants? Keith McCants. I don't remember him. Is he a tight end?
Is it actually Keith McCants?
Yeah, it's a defensive end out of Alabama.
Okay. 1984 NFL draft.
Ooh-wee.
1990, but.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a tough call. Walking Creeper's like 12 years old, too. I wonder how he knew that.
Why? Well, I don't understand the. I mean, it's a good trivia question.
It's trivia.
If we'd said name the first four picks of the 1990 NFL draft, how many would you have gotten?
Zero.
I think we would have gotten Jeff George if we thought it through.
Maybe so.
So I think at least one.
Jeff George went to ECU, right?
No, not ECU. Where'd he go? He went to high school with Whitlock. I know that.
Illinois,
that's right. ECU. Jeff Blake went to ECU.
Jeff Blake. Shaking Blake.
Maybe I should stop drinking.
Name the first four picks of the 2000 draft.
Okay.
Mike Vick?
Yeah, Michael Vick.
With Danny and Thomas?
Tomlinson. Nope,
wrong year. That's 01.
Oh. Dang it.
Peter Warwick. Bengals.
Correct.
I know that.
Number four.
He was
number
fourth
four.
Fourth overall.
I can tell you the teams. Cleveland had the first pick, and then Washington had the following two picks, actually.
Cleveland. Oh, Washington's LeVar Arrington.
Oh, good call.
Yep. And Penn State.
Yeah. And Cleveland took the defensive tackle out of, I think he went to Miami, maybe, but he's the guy that said he's going to rip Ben's head off.
He was a bust.
The first two picks were from Penn State.
Oh, it wasn't the running back. It's not the running back that,
Arrington.
No, it's the defensive player from Penn State.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, LeVar is that. Not two defensive.
Is that right, Deba?
Yes, he was a defensive end out of Penn State. Did not have a long career. Injury,
oh my God.
Career.
It's a couch in 99.
Oh my God.
It's Courtney Brown.
Yes.
Yep.
Did we answer this question previously on the podcast? And I couldn't guess Courtney Brown because he was like, it's a girl's name.
What's the number three?
We got three out of four pretty quickly.
Long time Washington Football Club offensive tackle.
Morgan Moses.
Alabama. that one's Chris Samuels.
I don't think I've gotten that.
Oh, he was good. Dang it. That was tough.
Sorry, right. Chris.
That's one we should have known better, I think.
Yeah, Chris Samuels probably.
Whoever threw out quickly Mike Vick messed us up.
That was me.
How about?
But I tried to get us back on track with Peter Warwick.
Let's fast forward just one more time. 10 more years. 2010 draft. First four picks.
Oh yeah. 2010. Number one is Sam Bradford.
Yep. And Ndamukong Suh. We already talked about that earlier.
What team had the number three pick?
Tampa.
Tampa had the number three pick. 2010. That was long after Gruden took the running back out of Cadillac.
Radford and
next two picks, 3 and 4, are from Oklahoma.
All right, tell us. Sorry, whatever was the draft? Sorry, my wife texted me. she's on the way to her, my mother-in-law.
2010.
First four
2010.
Picks.
So we established number one is Ndamukong Suh.
No.
Nope.
That's number two. It's number one quarterback out of Oklahoma.
Number two is Sam Bradford and Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah. The next two picks are out of Oklahoma, you said, Devo?
Three of the top four picks this year were from Oklahoma.
No.
The fourth overall.
This is pathetic. I don't know.
Is Trent Williams.
Is going to win comeback player of the year.
So we've written so many Trent Williams stories, right. And I have written that so many times. It's like burn my head.
So then who was selecting third?
Tampa.
It's not Cadillac, right?
And this player is now, he's still in the league, going to be on his third team this year.
Hold on. Oh, Gerald McCoy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one. And four is, in fact, Williams.
The 2020 comeback player of the year.
Is four Trent?
Yep.
Yes.
All right.
We got four out of four there. We got three out of four in 2000. Not bad.
We'll have to mix in more trivia. If you have trivia questions, leave them as a 5-star.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, moving along. Forgot. Yeah, we mentioned you should leave questions on Apple Podcasts. You can also leave them on the YouTubes. This is from
YouTube.
Archit Suresh from YouTube. Love the pod, guys. You may recognize me as the 16-year-old who submitted his application for the pod on Twitter. Now that Bleep's gone, Wilson and Breach should make the argument for being the number one super friend before Brinson randomly plays the Dickie V clip. My question, due to playing with all-timers like Brady, Breeze, Rogers, and Ben, will accomplishments from guys like Rivers or Matt Ryan go unnoticed if they never win a ring, and how does this affect their names in the Hall of Fame discussion? So first, 10 seconds each, make an argument for number two super friend behind me. Ouch.
I want to make the argument to be the last place super friend.
What a big jam!
Well, I think it's funny that Archit is apparently Brinson is not a super friend necessarily. We are his friends that are super. You know what I'm saying? That's why you can't be like, it's Will Brinson and his super friends.
I hear people call it that. I think of all of us as the super friends.
Well, that's how I see it. But if you're the number one, that's how I'm interpreting his question.
Yeah. I think of us more like, a Captain Planet episode.
Okay. Planeteers.
The Planeteers, the right? And they put all the rings in together.
Right.
Now we just don't have. Well, I think I'm probably Earth because Earth is number one.
Oh, okay.
What's Captain?
Just kidding.
I picked Earth first, though, Prince.
Voltron,
and you're
Ninja
the head.
Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Like Donatello's gone, and he was sort of expendable anyway. So you know.
I mean, I feel like Raphael is probably the most expendable turtle.
Oh God! Again with the turtles.
Would you prefer something else, Ryan?
The Turtles came after me, right in you guys' sweet spot, so I don't
Voltron,
know.
Voltron, there you go. Is that better?
Turtles were everything for us.
Voltron, Transformers, those things I understand. The Turtles, I don't.
Well, Brinson is the guy that forms the head in Voltron, and we're just like the arms and legs that flail around. Don't get any credit, but we do all the work.
Right, okay. You're speaking my language.
But I mean, also, like, the head wouldn't be functional without the rest of the pieces.
Oh, right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's... Like, I mean, I'm the host.
You're literally the mouthpiece.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't see us as, like, I certainly didn't mind for my ego when they're like, when we do like an HQ show and they're like, and now Will Brinson and the Super Friends. Like, I'll take it.
Yeah. My favorite part of that is when Breach is on and he's listed as a co-host to the Pick Six podcast when he's doing a single on.
But that doesn't bother me. I mean.
Not even when
it doesn't. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, Brinson is emailing his agent. Why is Breach being pushed as a co-host? What's going on here? Get that out.
Hey, change that. No, I mean, I think that the podcast is, people like the podcast because we all work together. So, also that question sort of implies that Bleep was number two.
Oh, that does.
I don't think he would say he was number two.
I don't think Will would say he was number two.
Yeah, we're in agreement.
And this is Will's list.
And just over there.
Why do you keep calling me Will?
I don't know.
He's British. He's a robot posing as a British.
I can't mispronounce it. I'm programmed by Jerry Jones. I don't even speak the right language.
And just in case there's any confusion, like the way we talk to each other here is literally how we treat each other in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I would say our text threads are a little bit nicer, maybe.
Nicer than the ones you're on with some other people, for sure.
But only nicer because you're afraid they're going to get screen grabbed and put on Twitter.
That's
fine. You got to censor yourself.
Okay, so to his real question here. Yeah, absolutely. I call it the Phil Mickelson effect. Phil Mickelson could be a top five golfer of all time if he hadn't played when Tiger Woods played. And that's just sort of, you know, the luck of the draw historically. There's nothing really you can do about it. And this applies as well. Maybe you call it the Belichick effect. Like, what does Andy Reid do? What does Mike Tomlin? What does Bill Cow? You know, what do all these coaches do? These great coaches who coached in the same division or at the same time as Bill Belichick. I mean, you don't get as many rings because Bill Belichick was gobbling them all up. And
yeah, what if Adam Gase is actually the greatest coach in NFL history? We'll just never know because he's stuck in the same
division. Rex Ryan.
Yeah. Let's not discount that.
But
discount it.
To the point, like, yeah, I mean, the guys who don't get rings are inherent. When you talk about quarterbacks and Hall of Fame accomplishments and where you stand in the pantheon of all-time great quarterbacks, like Dan Marino is probably the most talented quarterback of all time, or arguably one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time. But no one in their right mind would ever try to argue that he's the greatest quarterback of all time because he has no ring. And so you have no leg to see. He went to one Super Bowl, went to his second year when he's MVP, threw 5,000 yards. Everybody thought he'd be back. Never did. You can't possibly make the argument that he's the greatest quarterback of all time with no rings. Like, that's the Rivers thing. If he doesn't sneak a ring with the Colts in the next, in the final 2 or 3 years, or probably two, I mean, I understand that there's a chance he won't get in the Hall of Fame. Like, if he gets a ring, it's a slam dunk. You know, Ben and, I mean, Brady and Breeze are in a different category. Rodgers probably too, even with one ring, just because of his talent and you know, MVPs. Ben is a little bit closer, but he's got the rings. So it's no one's going to argue it. Like, I think if you took away the rings, if you take away Eli's rings, he is not getting in the Hall of Fame.
That one's not even close, but I do agree with everything you said. And it's basically, if Matt Ryan doesn't win one ring, if Philip Rivers, I think one ring, just one ring, both those guys would get in.
Slam
but without it,
get in.
I don't think they get in. And I think a big part of that is you're not going to put in 10 quarterbacks from the same generation. You know, like, there are a bunch. He listed, I think, 6 quarterbacks here with Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Ben, and then obviously Matt Ryan and Philip Rivers. But then you also have, like, Peyton Manning. That's also part of this generation. Eli Manning is going to be a hot Hall of Fame debate. So there are a bunch of quarterbacks, and I just don't see that many from this generation getting. So I don't think they will get in unless they win a Super Bowl.
I disagree that, and I think that they will get in because when the discussion is happening for their cases, by the time that it happens, and Matt Ryan probably has, what, 5 or 6 years left? Rivers has, I mean, maybe more.
Yeah, Rivers is. Yeah. No, Rivers has less years left.
I'm saying Matt Ryan has 5 or 6, maybe more. I mean, I think by the time that Ryan and Rivers are up for discussion with the Hall of Fame, that their numbers will be so big in the context of where we stand historically that it'll be too difficult to keep them out, even if it's not a first ballot thing.
Yeah, we'll see. It may take time.
Yeah, but I do think both of those guys will probably – I think Rivers with 3 more years will get in even without a ring. And Ryan
– what are you hanging your hat on with Matt Ryan in your get him in speech, though?
I mean, he had one of the most dominant seasons in NFL history and won an MVP and was 28-3 in the Super Bowl until Tom Brady and
– right. Save that part.
Back on him. Like, they should – I mean, like, he should have a ring.
Like Rivers, I'm on board with Rivers. Matt Ryan, I'm like, yeah.
Well, all right, Matt Ryan. I mean, how did he not lead the league in passing yards in MVP season? That's crazy. I mean, he has 51,186 passing yards right now, 65% completions, 321 passing touchdowns. You know, he led the league in adjusted yards per attempt, quarterback rate, QBR, net yards per attempt, approximate value that year. I mean, he has never really had a bad season, taken 3rd overall behind the Not Long brothers, Jake and friend of the podcast, Chris Long, who were 1 and 2 that year. That's a good trivia too. Was that 2007?
Yep. No, Matt Ryan's 2008.
Is that right?
Yeah, because he and Joe Flacco.
How do we know 2008, not 2010? 2000, weird. Anyway, I think, so he's, Matt Ryan is 35. Oh, he's 35 now?
Yeah, what'd you think?
Let's say he's got, he doesn't have 5 or 6 more years then.
5 or less. I mean, he just stands back there. Yeah, he stands back there and throws the ball. He ain't running around. He never was a runner.
Yeah. So he's the 2016 Offensive Player of the Year, one-time MVP, 2018 AP Rookie of the Year, one-time All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler. I don't think it's a slam dunk, but
it ain't. He's a good player, but is he a Hall of Famer? That's what I'm saying.
Man, I was thinking he was like 32.
No, he and Joe Flacco, you know, they came out the same year. They're both old.
Maybe he's not.
We convinced him.
I will say, over the past, I think 35 years, there have only been 3 quarterbacks that won MVP and did not or are not in the Hall of Fame, but also obviously active players do not count on that list. You guys want to try and name them, or do you want me to tell you?
Hold on. All right. Wait. So over the past 35 years,
quarterbacks who have won, because Matt Ryan has won MVP. That's obviously part of his argument.
But that's, he's not one of them.
He's not one of them. Active players do
retired,
not count.
So retired players who have won MVP who are not in the Hall of Fame. This is good trivia.
Retired quarterbacks.
Retired quarterbacks who've won the MVP who are not in the Hall of Fame.
Over the past 35 years.
35 years.
Okay, so let's just think about. Steve McNair.
That is one. And if you even thought about why I thought of this, you'll get another one.
Ken Anderson. Boomer Esiason.
There you go. Ken Anderson's 82, so he's, or 81, so he's before, out the 35. But yes, Boomer is on the list.
Did Ken Anderson win MVP though?
Yeah, he won.
Okay, all right, so I'm not crazy. Okay.
He would, he would be on the list if we went back 40 years.
So Boomer, McNair.
Andy Dalton. I don't know.
Let's see. Cam, Matt Ryan, both still active.
This quarterback, very similar to Matt Ryan, won the MVP and played in the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Hold on.
Say it.
It's not Donovan McNabb didn't win MVP, did he? No.
No.
Reach would say if it was him.
You guys got 2 or 3. I just
keep hold on. We're going to get the other one.
Okay.
What decade?
Yeah, decade, yeah.
The 2000s.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Even Super more Bowl 2000s.
Joe Flacco didn't win MVP. When you say 2000s, you don't mean 2010, right?
I mean this century.
Okay. Oh, so it could be any time since 2000.
But the player also cannot be active, so that eliminates a handful of people off the list.
Sure. But he won MVP, too. So who?
Potentially a friend of the pod.
I know it.
Wait, I will say I'm surprised Prince got McNair before this one.
He's our colleague, Rich Gannon.
It is Rich Gannon.
Yes! All right, that's good trivia work.
Got that legit, the last one?
What? Yeah. Well, I was running through the MVPs, and I was running through the quarterbacks of the 2000s, and
that's good.
Yeah. Lindsay. Rich Gannon won MVP in 2002. Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, 2002.
Remember, they lost, obviously got blown out by the Buccaneers and Gruden, who had just been traded there, and then Gannon retired shortly thereafter. And looking at his, because you do that when we talked to Gannon, friend of the podcast, Rich Gannon, did a long episode with us, but I was looking at his career numbers. And it was like, you want to make sure you know somebody's numbers when you're talking to them about their game. And I don't think he has a case for the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, I mean, probably not. But you're talking about, you know, Matt Ryan winning one MVP and getting to a Super Bowl doesn't put him – the Super Bowl ring just helps a lot. You know, you can't hang your hat on that.
I would argue that Rich Gannon may have a better career than Matt Ryan. I know he started off slowly. He was a day 3 pick or whatever it was.
You listen to the podcast. We talked to him about that. It was like, he was a 4th-round pick out of Delaware.
By the Patriots.
Delaware. Patriots for a while. Well, that's right.
Talking to him about it, it was a lot for him about getting to Oakland. It's sort of like Carson Palmer and the Cardinals, you know? It's about a match with a coach. Carson Palmer was good with the Bengals too, but. You know, for him, he got to Oakland and he and, Gruden, I didn't even realize this. He was actually older than Gruden when he got there.
That's
so they were right about the same age. And so he said they became very good friends and they became a good match. And Gruden was a great coach and Rich is strengths fit perfectly, meshed perfectly, you know, with what Gruden's offense called for. And so, yeah, that was, huge year for him, by the way. 4,689 passing yards, led the league in 2002, 26 touchdowns, 10 picks, 618 passing attempts, completed 67.6% of his passes. That was big back then. All right. So that would be the show, but we have to do one more thing.
Oh, yeah. I have a question. Here's my mailbag question. Not to you guys. It's to the listeners. I'll tell you exactly where it came from. So my oldest is 13. You know, school is going to happen in some way, shape, or form in the next few weeks.
Question, is it?
No, no. So he doesn't have a phone. Like, we didn't give him a phone because we're like, you can have an iPod for now because you're 11, 12.
What happens if he's like out and he needs to contact you?
Now that he's going to be in eighth grade, we're going to get him a phone.
Okay.
So he'll get a phone. There will be limits on it. I'm not letting him do all sorts of stuff because I remember when I was 13 and what I was up to. If I had a phone with instant access to naked stuff, guess what I'd be looking at all day?
We had to fire up our parents' AOL account and download JPEGs.
We had to sneak around and find Playboys. I mean,
there was that too, obviously.
There's no computers.
Yeah, when you find your dad's Playboy stash, it is a game changer.
Yeah, and my advice to you is just make sure you're not sloppy about leaving the magazines laying around. Don't ruin it.
I mean, did all dads have
mine didn't.
Okay.
You'd have to,
I shouldn't really be telling on my dad here. I don't think he has them anymore.
Yeah, in retrospect, it's not really a big deal. You know,
like, in retrospect, Playboy is like, I mean, like, it's like, Playboy's tame compared to what these kids see in 2020.
Interviews, obviously. Yeah. But, my dad didn't, or at least he hid them. I never found them. But, oh, Breach's dad definitely did. He's a professional athlete.
Yeah, it'd be front page news. You can't be caught with that.
No.
Even though it's not normal.
Not caught. Well, you have to be caught with it, or otherwise.
Right. But so anyway, he'll get a phone in a few weeks. But even before he got the phone, he said, "So listen, I want to get on Instagram and Snapchat." And my wife was like, "No, that's not happening." And so I was talking to some of some of my buddies who have kids that are older, and they're like, "No, we don't do social media for our, like, just turned teenagers because it's just like Snapchat, especially. Like, I don't know, Devo, if you're on Snapchat, I'm not on there, but I know like 24 hours and things go away, so you can't even keep up with what they're doing." So I just wanted to know, number one, if people listen to this podcast and they have kids, are there kids on social media? When they let them do it, do you have any regrets? Or if you listen to this podcast and you're a teenager, are you on social media? I'm assuming you are. When did you do it? What are your thoughts about it? Because right now my wife's plan is not to let our 13-year-old get any sort of social media app until he's like 15 or 16, which I'm sort of okay with.
You know, Robbie plays this game called Roblox. You guys know about this?
Yeah, I know Roblox.
Okay. There's also a lot of violent stuff on there. Like
I know that. I don't know it well. I just thought
playing this. He was playing this like piggy game. I was like, oh, what's piggy do? And then piggy comes out and looks at a knife. You're like, hey, buddy, how about no more piggy? Okay. He's like, all right. Robbie, there's a chat feature on there, but like you can set parental controls.
Right.
I don't know what I would do with social. I mean, like, you don't want your kid on Twitter. The kids even tweet?
They don't do Twitter. It's the young kids don't do Twitter. They do Instagram and Snapchat, best I understand. And his argument is, listen, my friends only, and my nephew who's 18, almost 19 now, said, yeah, we only chat, like we only text on Snapchat. Like, they don't use the text on your phone. Mm. So I said to myself,
Snapchat's concerning because it deletes after a certain amount of time.
Right. And they're, yeah. So, and he's 13 and like he's.
That's like in high school. I just want to go to the party. We just eat ice cream there. That's all. But nothing else.
Now here's what I would probably do as a parent. And I'm not saying that this is the right
answer, by the way.
No, I'm saying Robbie's six. So I'm not really sweating the parental controls. Although a little punk knows how to work his way around YouTube and find some weird stuff.
There you go. Prince is not going to show up for a podcast one day because Robbie locked him out.
That happened like 2 weeks ago. He's like, I locked you out of your office. I was like, what are you doing, pal? So what I would do if I, in your shoes, Ryan, I would say this, I'm curious what you think. This is off the top of my head how I would handle this. My wife came to me and was like, we got to do the social media thing. I would say, listen, here's the deal. You can have Snapchat and you can have Instagram, but we get your logins. We're not going to check unless we have concerns because of things that, like, if we are concerned about you, we will check your social media.
It's funny you say that because I said, cause we check his, we're supposed to check his iPod now. I don't really check it for texting. Right. I said, we will have your loss. I said exactly what you just said. And, he called my bluff. He goes, okay.
I mean, I think that's fine. Like, what's, I mean,
but here's the thing. Like, it's, then it puts the burden on you as a parent to have to look at every single thing this 13-year-old is doing. Cause, you know, when you're 13, you get up to all sorts of stuff. And I understand.
I don't know. What, like,
well, here's the thing. Here's what I said. You're right. I would imagine 95% of what he does is fine.
I think, but I see, here's my thing. I would think if I were y'all that you will have an idea if he is up to something. Cause he'll start acting weird.
Yeah. That's
you know,
fine.
If he starts being a total recluse or like hiding with his, you know, like if he starts acting really weird, then I think you just check it on the sly. Or you just monitor it and open it up in your app and like, and just, you know, do that.
No, I wouldn't even check. I would check it on the out and open, let them know about it. But that's one aspect of it. And that is actually probably a smaller aspect of it than the other part, which is when you're on Instagram, Snapchat, which the main means of communication is like video or a photo, you see like your buddies doing stuff that they're not really doing, sort of how Instagram works anyway. You know, no one's actually living that life.
Right.
And then you find out who's at parties and doing things and you're not at those parties. And then it becomes a whole sort of social clicky thing. Not even in high school like it used to be where you're doing it over the phone. And, you know, if you're 13, I don't want to deal with that. So that's where we're at. Anyway, I'm taking solicitations on.
I think you give them Instagram. That's what I got out of all that. My 14-year-old nephew just got – or my 12-year-old nephew is getting a cell phone.
Yeah.
Because here's what would happen is that his friends would send texts that went to my sister.
Yeah.
The kid's mom. And then – my sister would show it to him and then he would text back and then give the phone back to my sister.
Been
and
there.
She's like, I am over that. I'm going to give him a phone that only texts and that we can access everything. So the 12-year-old is not going to be allowed on social media, but the 14-year-old I think is allowed to have like an Instagram account.
You know what? I know what you should do, Ryan. So no, this is a good solution.
All right. What do you
got? So you have, I'm presuming you have some sort of older iPhone sitting around.
Oh yeah. I got an iPhone 4 if you want me to go old school.
Right, but you don't use it.
Right, yeah. It's just sitting
but
there.
But you could update its settings and basically turn it into a duplicate version of the phone that you're giving your son. So like you're like, listen, you're logging in under your iOS.
Oh, right, yeah.
You will get alerts for anything you do. We're not going to look. We're not going to check.
No, we will look. Don't even leave that. You don't leave that part out.
Yeah, tell him. Be like, listen, everything that you do will be alerted here. And that way he knows that you probably aren't looking at everything because there's too much crap coming through. And he could turn on like four. I mean, like if he really wanted to call your bluff, he could download like 600 sports apps and set it for like every alert, like every golf alert, or like download the PGA Tour app and favorite every golfer. So yeah. Every time they tee off or like go up or down the leaderboard, you get an alert. But I mean, my point being is that if you have a duplicate version of the phone that's getting the alerts, he'll feel a lot less free about hiding stuff, I think.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's hiding anything. And I think in general, he does what he's supposed to be doing and all that other stuff. That's
right, but I'm just saying you have a failsafe, a backup.
And the other end of the conversation is this. You don't want to repress the kid to the point that when he goes to college, he's like me and goes crazy. So you have to sort of balance it out. But he's 13, so you have a few years. But anyway, so that's the question. I got Breach and Brinson's answers. Anyone else want to weigh in? Debo, do you have any thoughts?
I would lean towards Breach the Instagram. I think Snapchat, like sometimes I don't even want to be on there. I was like, why am I on this app? I'm 29 years old.
Wait, like what do you mean? Like what's happening?
It's really phased out. Like it was popular when started to get popular when I was in college and then it kind of stays at that age and you grow out of it. Well, Instagram's the thing and you can keep tabs easier on Instagram because there's some, because of the disappearing nature of Snapchat. It's hard to keep.
Well, when
100%.
Snapchat first showed up, I mean, like I was already like Ryan and I and Breach, I guess too, were already too old for it. So it was like considered like the D pick. It's like people are just sending like, you know, like that's what we thought Snapchat.
I looked it up. I had to read up on it. It was originally selling itself as sort of a sex app kind of thing. That's right.
Yeah, you could send pics to people who you were friends with on there, and then they would disappear. Right.
I can't believe we've talked about Trader Joe's and nudes on this podcast.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't believe you can't.
All right. Anyway, that was my question. Sorry.
That's the question. See, we do parenting on here too.
Yeah, there you go. And you were,
you know, I bet you'll get some tweets from people who are like, hey, dummy, here's like a very simple parental control item.
But I don't want to create more work for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one more thing I have to do. I understand those things are out there. I just rather.
Here's another solution. Be a better parent. You don't have to worry about your kid causing problems.
I need a time machine to go back to the 18th. Well, I gotta time it right, I guess, if I'm going to go back. Take him back.
You just need to go back to the 18th century.
I don't know if I'll go back that far.
I mean, you could go back to like 98. I
mean, There you go. 98.
I mean, even how old is your son again? 13? Or you can get back to 2005.
I know.
Oh my God. Can you imagine being in 2005 right now? How sweet would that be?
Oh, it'd be great.
Or even 2000. And
although a year before YouTube, so no one could see us have this insane conversation.
One year after podcasting started.
How far back would you? Yeah, that's what you would do is you go back and.
Well, podcasting started around 2005, which I think you would know better than me, Debo, because I used to listen to the Ricky Gervais podcast. And it was like the only show in town. People would send in email questions every week.
Yeah.
If Simmons wasn't doing his podcast when he was first at. He wasn't doing it in 99 or 2000.
Seven, I think is when it started.
Officially podcasting originated in 2004, but it didn't really take its. Even close to its current form until way after that.
Let's get out of here. Yeah. Good show. Great show. Tremendous show. See you guys tomorrow.
Let's go! It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.